Joe, being a good reporter, I've got to ask about the jewels. Are they real, and what are they? And did you sense an opening at the end of the first half when the Chiefs didn't get at least 3 points?
They're definitely real. I think I make too much money to have fake ones, so, you know, these are real. I thought about this one. This is probably my favorite outfit of the year. Yeah, I was excited about this one.
It's got the rock vibes.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that for sure.
That was Joe Burrow yesterday after winning the AFC title game. Did you see his outfit he was in yesterday? It's good stuff.
Yeah, Vanilla Ice-ish.
Yeah, like when, I will say, when they tweeted out the pictures before the game of Burrow showing up and that, I was like, you know, maybe a good day for Joe Burrow.
Or they might lose 49-3, but well,
it worked out for him.
Yeah.
What a legend, Joe Burrow.
I tell you what, man. He's like, he's about to be the first QB potentially. Is it Heisman, National Championship, Super Bowl? Is that right?
Yeah.
Never been done, right?
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
He's also never lost a playoff game.
He's undefeated in the playoffs.
That's true.
He's a quarterback, one of the greatest college teams ever.
Yeah.
I mean, really. It will be remembered, especially as time goes on and these guys, their pro careers continue to unfold. Like, we'll look back and be like, my God. And he might pull that whole thing off in a 3-year span.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible to watch.
We're all going to get sick of him, but enjoy him now.
Yeah.
Before you're sick of him.
Yeah, before you hate Joe Burrow in 5 years, and you know some Titans fans may hate him right now, just, I guess, enjoy it for the next couple of weeks, because he's going to be back.
Like, remember a few years ago, Patrick Mahomes, you know, I mean, I still like Patrick Mahomes. I just wish he would smack his brother.
Yes.
And, you know, discipline him a little bit. But you know, it was like, oh, my gosh, this guy's incredible. Can't get enough Patrick Mahomes. And then, you know, eventually you get a little bit of fatigue with someone. Joe Burrow still in the honeymoon stage with the NFL at large. But just wait till they get an offensive line.
Oh, man.
You know.
I know.
Like he and Jamar Chase. I mean, T. Higgins, by the way, was great yesterday.
He was. But, like, you know, Quentin Spain on the offensive line, like, obviously former Titan. He got on Twitter yesterday and was like, so what about that offensive line now? I was like, well, I mean, you still gave up 4 sacks and got totally dominated all day. But, yeah, you won the game. So, good for you, Quentin Spain.
I mean, Prince, the right tackle. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's hard to watch. But, hey, Quentin Spain likes to get on social media and talk trash, doesn't he?
Quentin Spain is a big fan of the Twitter app on his phone. I don't think there's any question about that. So, Joe, I threw this question out there last night, and I was not the only one to throw this out there last night because we talked about it last week. If the Bengals win this game, how do you feel if you're a Titans fan? Does that make you feel better or do you feel worse? And I've got, I don't know, 100-something replies on here. I would say 90% of them say, yeah, makes me feel worse after watching what the Bengals did yesterday. Feels like a huge missed opportunity. Now, you talked about this a little bit before the show. Like, I don't, to me, really, regardless of the way the game went yesterday, if I'm a Titans fan, I'm sitting there thinking, man, could have been at home, Nissan Stadium, the Chiefs. You've already beaten them there once. Like, there's probably not a scenario that exists where you're not feeling bad yesterday if you're a Titans fans, but lots of people on the Twitterverse yesterday saying, yep, watching Joe Burrow in Cincinnati go to the Super Bowl and knowing that Kansas City could have been beaten makes me feel a whole lot worse about this blown opportunity for the Titans.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could find any scenario yesterday, and you could find plenty of fans who's like feel bad or would say, yeah, that makes me feel worse. I guess the only one, like if the Chiefs completely ran away with it and looked like this unstoppable machine,
yeah,
then you could talk yourself into, the Titans were never going to beat them. I would still argue, you don't know that. I mean, it's sports. How many times do we have to be reminded just in this tournament, like how wrong we are? What did we do? Didn't we do like the who's a real contender?
Yeah.
Were the Bengals and Niners both counted? The Bengals, I know I counted the Bengals out. I don't remember the Niners out.
I didn't count the Niners out.
Yeah. But, you know, the Eagles.
I counted the Eagles out.
Yeah. The Bengals were put right in the corner with the Eagles.
Yeah.
And here they are in the Super Bowl. So, like, you just don't know. The Chiefs could have won yesterday, and I would still argue today, Titans could have beat them at home. And regardless, you feel bad because, again, Nashville didn't get to have an AFC championship game that it should have had here. But, yeah, I mean, this has got to be the worst-case scenario of feeling worse, right?
Yeah. I got a texter on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com that says, if Tannehill didn't choke, this definitely would have been the year we would have won the Super Bowl. That's coming from that's a very popular sentiment on the text line.
Very popular.
Just goes back to the quarterback.
Yeah, very popular. Again, the Bengals, like, you look at what they did yesterday in the second half, you're like, man, that defense, how much – of course, if you're a Bengals fan, I tweeted something yesterday about, like, they were a beneficiary of two choke jobs, which they were. Then again, some Bengals fans found that and screamed about it and stuff. And again, it's not to take credit totally away from them. They deserve a ton of credit. They made plays. I mean, if you're from the Bengals' perspective, those were great defensive plays, those were Tannehill picks. I would argue that, the defender made a play every time.
Sure.
I would argue that he made it easy on the defender. Actually, I'd say the Titans made it easy on them all three times.
Yeah.
Tannehill specifically, twice. Todd Downing, once.
Yeah.
But it's just your perspective. You know how it is. I mean, after a game like this, what are they talking about in Kansas City? They're talking about how great the Bengals played and that, wow, that unbelievable defense and Joe Burrow's. No, they're talking about what in the hell were you doing at the end of the first half and how big of an opportunity did you just squander?
Yeah.
That's what they're talking about in that town. In Cincinnati, it's all celebration, of course. There's always credit and blame in any situation. But I just don't think the Bengals are that good. I'm sorry. They're going to go win the Super Bowl by 17 points, and at some point, you're going to have to acknowledge that they're pretty good, but I'm still struggling with that.
By the way, did you see this tweet that got put out yesterday from KMBC, which is a news station in Kansas City? It was after the Chiefs got eliminated, and it's a picture of Mahomes, and the title says, "Against All Odds, We Were Never Supposed to Be Here. We Were Never Meant to Make It This Far. But Against All Odds, We Did. What a season. Thank you for the incredible ride. We will always be # Chiefs Kingdom." Playing the underdog card.
Yeah.
In Kansas
never
City.
Supposed to be here. Oh, boy.
I know we were the odds-on Super Bowl favorite to begin the season, but hey, never supposed to be here.
So because the team sucked out loud for about 6 weeks in the season, now you get to play the "We were never supposed to be here."
It's just your fourth straight AFC championship game.
Yeah. They're just clearly the favorite to win it all.
I just saw that yesterday. That kind of, like, didn't the Patriots at one time like try to play up this underdog role, and you're just like, okay. Yeah. Patriots are underdogs with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Give me a break.
Yeah. Well, everybody wants to like someone will, after they win something big, say, you know, how they were doubted.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, really? Where are you?
Yeah, there's like a dad, you know, coach from third grade who doubted them and didn't play them every minute of a game or something. I hope that thing got ratioed.
Oh, big time.
In Kansas City.
Did you guys also see the Kansas City Chiefs Twitter account tweeted in all caps, "We won the coin toss"?
Oh, yeah.
Right, as they went into overtime.
Oh, really?
And then somebody quote tweeted it. That just was an account that said Cincinnati Bengals, but it wasn't their account. And it was like, "And we won the game" in all caps. I'm like, oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Ooh, man.
Well, as soon as they won the coin toss, I was like, is this like some Harvey Dent coin they got up there in Kansas City? They just win every time. Just get this coin toss out there. That was quite the play by the Bengals defense there, forcing the pick.
Yeah.
They almost had one right before it.
Well, that's
Eli Apple dropped it, and I was like, oh, boy. You drop a pick like that, just a gift they wrap up for you.
Well, that is, and you throw that into the Tannehill discussion too, by the way. Now, the difference is, of course, that we're talking about people who have won rings, but Rodgers and Mahomes, boy, did they also soil themselves a little bit in this postseason.
Sure did. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Did the Bengals win yesterday make you feel better or worse as a Titans fan? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
From 31 yards, McPherson. And Cincinnati is heading to the Super Bowl. He called it again, I'm sure. He walked up and he goes, "Can you believe, coach? We're going to the Super Bowl." And they did it. They beat Mahomes at home. Wow, Joe Burrow. No way. Only two quarterbacks have won an FBS national title game and a Super Bowl.
And that's Joe Namath and Joe Montana, and Joe Burrow's trying to be the third.
That was the CBS call, the game winner yesterday by Cincinnati. Evan McPherson nails another field goal. Cincinnati advances to the Super Bowl. Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. By the way, I don't know, maybe it's just Tony Romo fatigue for me, but I feel like he's just getting worse at this. Like, it's just a bunch of screaming and everything's the best thing ever now. I don't know, maybe I'm being a Tony Romo hater, but God, he was annoying yesterday on the broadcast.
Yeah, he gets a little bit unhinged, I feel like, more during this postseason. Now, I think that the Cowboys game was to me, it was like, okay, so because he's so emotionally invested in this, he's struggling to do the job. But, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think you're alone in that. I still think overall, like, he has great insight, you know.
He does.
He can break down a play really well. So, and you know, I like the enthusiasm, but yeah, he probably could tone it down a little bit. Joe Montana, is that an accurate statement by him? I don't think Joe Montana won a national championship with Notre Dame, but maybe I'm wrong.
We'll look it up.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
James on the text line says, it still feels horrible that we nuked their offensive line and still lost, and now they're in the Super Bowl. This could be a Titans-Rams rematch. Ugh. This comes from James on the text line. I didn't really think about the Titans-Ram rematch element of this.
Oh,
Could have some time for redemption.
Same
22
place.
22 years later.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, Titans-Ram rematch for some redemption for that one. Of course, the Rams would also like probably a rematch from the Sunday Night Football game.
It's true.
When Jeffrey Simmons came in there and wrecked that game for him. So
yeah.
That would have been an appealing matchup. Chiefs-Rams also would have been an appealing matchup. Bengals-Rams is a matchup.
Ty on the text line says, I feel the same. I think the negative Tannehill talk will start to stop since Mahomes essentially did the same thing. That's coming from Ty on the text line. You think it's going to stop?
No. It's not going to stop because leading into this postseason, like Rodgers, Mahomes, you know, those guys had done some things that Tannehill and most quarterbacks haven't done, right? So Tannehill was trying to get to the point of proving that he can do things like that and failed. So no, I don't think so. I mean, look, is it going to be a beat-up Tannehill week every week until the draft or minicamp? No. I mean, I think, you know, last week was totally like the entire town unleash your anger on Ryan Tannehill, and we participated as well. But it doesn't, to me, really fundamentally change what happened in the Titans' loss and the dilemma that they face. And then, you know, we'll have plenty of time to talk about whether they're actually going to try to do something about this or not. Still think it's kind of a remote possibility, but we'll see.
Keith from Bowling Green texting in says Joe Montana won in 77. This is coming from Keith in Bowling Green.
Yeah, okay. So the chicken soup game, which, you know, famous game, is that right? They beat Texas 38-10. Okay, so they were, yeah, okay. They got. I did not realize that they got voted number one. Of course, back then it was you had to get voted number one, but that's what you had.
It's so a Joe thing.
You got to go with
say,
it.
Like it's Joe Montana, Joe Namath, Joe Burrow.
Yes.
No. Joe Rexrode.
All legends. All elite athletes, really. You know, very. It's hard to distinguish between the athleticism of all of them.
Do you have a diamond chain like Burrow has?
I did have some sweet. I had a sweet gold chain in the 80s.
But he does have a Nick Westbrook Akina button.
That's true. There is that. Have some of that, Burrow.
And that's real and spectacular.
Yes, it is. I don't know. Like, if I'm a Titans fan sitting here today, I think everybody would agree the Bengals are way ahead of schedule. What did they win last year? Four games? I think they won four games last year. Now, granted,
we know one of those games.
Yeah, we know one of them. Granted, Joe Burrow was out for a lot of the season last year.
Yes.
But this just kind of goes to show you how quickly getting that elite quarterback can turn things around. Now, this is a pretty extreme scenario. I think we understand that. But we're talking about the Cincinnati Bengals being in the Super Bowl in his second year. Like, it's pretty incredible. Like, the Bengals, for my entire lifetime, have sucked. You know, the Andy Dalton years, those were the glory years for the Bengals in my lifetime. And now we're talking about them in the Super Bowl in really his first full season. You know, they weren't going to the Super Bowl last year with him healthy. I get that. And they've made a lot of changes to their team. They don't have an offensive line, despite what Quentin Spain throws out there. And in his second year, they're going to the Super Bowl. Like, it's got to make you feel sick if you're a Titans fan.
Yeah, well, and even this, yeah, last year they did go 4-11-1. And so this year, I think a lot of the excitement was contained, one, because they went 4-11-1, but also he's coming off an ACL. I mean, this team lost to the Bears. This team lost to the Jets. A huge game at home against the rival Cleveland Browns on November 7th. They lost 41-16.
Yeah,
I mean, I watched a lot of that game. The Browns came, I'm like, God, there's such a huge gap between these two teams. Like, the Browns are so much more talented than the Bengals. They another huge game at home, December 5th against the Chargers, a team that didn't make the playoffs. They got blown out 41-22. It just go. I mean, the Bengals, among many other things, are a great example of why, like, the NFL regular season is, you know, you're going to have some terrible weeks. And they also had some great weeks. They blew out the Ravens twice, and the comeback against the Chiefs. And, you know, they had some great moments, too, obviously. You know, they get into the playoffs, they win that division. I think most people probably picked them fourth. It was right. I mean, were they popularly picked last?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because the Steelers. You figured
now, there were some that picked Steelers last.
But it was Browns or Ravens.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be two teams who did make the playoffs. It's just amazing how it can work out in this league. And that's where, like, if you tell me the Bengals next year are going to go like 9-8, I'm not going to be shocked. Like, their defense, not only their offensive line, like, their defense has some good pieces, but they need more. They don't. They're not. But, look what they just did in the second half against the Chiefs. Again, it's why you play the game. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to what they did yesterday after the Chiefs looked like they could name their score in the entire first half. Name your score.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Heidi from Dixon on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I feel worse because the Bengals made me realize that having that guy at quarterback makes up a lot of ground. The Titans don't have to get a guy that good because it's hard, but they got to improve from Ryan, and if they can, they should, just to better our chances. This coming from our friend Heidi from Dixon on the text line.
Well, I think that's a good way to put it, Heidi, is that when you have that guy, you can make up for what I just talked about. Like, their defense has holes. Their offensive line is a mess. When you have that guy, but also, you know, I think that what we're going to talk about with the Bengals moving forward is the entire collection of skill. Like, as things move forward, Burrow, Chase, Higgins, Mixon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, we're going to compare though that group to, like, you know, like Manning, Harrison, James. I mean, like stuff like that. Like, man, you loaded up with great players at skill spots.
Well, you did, and at some point, you're not going to be able to keep all of them. Like,
well, that's true, too.
You got Ja'Marr Chase, you got T. Higgins, Joe Burrow. Like, Tyler Boyd's a pretty darn good player. Like, probably not going to be able to keep him at some point. And by the way, you know, Uzama going down yesterday, looks like that's not gonna end well. So,
no, well,
sprained MCL or what they say it was?
Yeah, I think that's right. Well, both of these teams are going to go in the Super Bowl without their tight end.
Yes. Yeah.
Higby also is a knee, right?
Yeah.
So, which is too bad. But, yeah, but he's been a big part of this, too. He's good tight end. So they've got all the – I mean, it's an interesting thing. Going into the year, you look at that team like, okay, good skill. We didn't know Chase was going to be this good.
No.
But it's like, man, you got your QB coming off an ACL and that's your offensive line? Well, they're in the Super Bowl. I mean – but I agree with Heidi. I think what the hard part about this is when you have that guy, it can make up for so much. And getting that guy means you got to go 2-15.
Yeah.
And then also hope that's the year that is the guy who's there at number one.
Yeah.
Because most years, that's not the guy available even at number one overall.
Let's go back to the text. Sometimes it's Jameis Winston. Let's go back to the text line.
Or Marcus Mariota, the great debate of 2015.
That's right. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texting in says, good morning, guys. I said at the beginning of the season it would be a Rams and Titans rematch in the Super Bowl. I remember that, Ron. If we could have only beaten Cincinnati, and I don't know what you're talking about, Joe. That was horrible defense between Kansas City and Cincy. We would have crushed Kansas City as well. Well, did you talk about their defense not being good? I don't remember that.
Wait, whose defense?
He said both defenses were horrible, Kansas City and Cincinnati.
Well, but I mean, do we not give any credit to Cincinnati's defense in the second half?
You got to give some.
I mean, they did make some plays, right?
They did.
I mean, I would side with it's more what Kansas City didn't do, especially after watching what Kansas City did to them the first half.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you have to give some credit to playmaking, to some adjustments, whatever. I mean, it's never all one thing.
Right.
It's never all one side. It gets all the credit, or all one side gets all the blame.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 25 years of profits and good times. Visit LittleGuysFranchise.com. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5, The Game. And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Lots to get into today here on the program, including some championship football over the weekend. Joe Rex Road, how are we doing? What's going on?
I'm doing okay. Actually, let me just, before we get into the football, because we were just talking about this.
Okay.
Let's get this out there. So, apparently it was Fox News who broke this. Treasure chest. Tom Brady has a glittering incentive to delay his retirement. Friend of the show, Greg Allman. Covers the Bucks for The Athletic.
He is friend of the show.
I'm going to read his tweet. Quote, "This is completely wrong. It's misreading a contract to portray Brady as having an incentive to wait on retiring. His contract pays him a deferred $50 million bonus on February 4th, but he's already earned it. He does not need to be on the roster to get it. And if he retires, he pays back $16 million.
Well, I'm really glad he's going to get that money.
Yeah, right, because that would – yeah, exactly. That's another thing. It's like for him it'd be like a quarter to put in the jukebox, you know, if he got that. But anyway, we'll talk more about Brady and his fake retirement or real retirement or whatever the hell's going on because it's stupid later.
Tom Brady's moved down to number 5 on Joe Rexroad's all-time quarterback list based on this weekend.
You've just
Matt Stafford is at number 3.
Dan Fouts has just blown past him on the list. Yeah, that's right. Matt, yeah, where's Matt Stafford now?
Stafford,
he's got to be up there.
He's moving
right?
up.
Joe Burrow's already in the hall.
That's right.
You can retire right now, Burrow. Get your gold jacket, buddy.
That's right. Just don't tell the Ravens defensive coordinator. Because that was a big to-do earlier this season. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's some good stuff. Michelle, what's going on? How are we doing?
I was already telling Robbie, Joe, before you got here, just quite the weekend, you know. On Thursday, my mirror on the side of my car is still just hanging off. Got to get that fixed today. Lost my purse this weekend. It's just,
wow.
I swear if my head wasn't attached to my shoulders, probably lose that too.
Wow. Why did you lose your purse?
I just want to, I think to clarify, we found the purse.
Oh, okay. Yes, the purse we found it.
Oh, okay.
But like, thank the Lord I found it.
Yeah.
It was a major day of anxiety on Sunday. Like, oh, God, where is it? But we found it. It ended up being under my bed. So.
All right. And you got to go see Ja Morant and the Grizzlies.
Got to see Ja Morant. Big sports weekend. Went there. Yeah. And then just stepped out and I watched football on the couch all day yesterday, which is amazing. Dropped him off at the airport before we got here. Good weekend, other than losing all my stuff. Now I got to get my car fixed today.
Well, yeah. Sometimes it happens.
Yeah, so
and also,
your car's
going to
get washed soon.
That's
by
good.
Somebody.
I was like, wow, we're coming right out with it, huh? How about that?
On Friday, I told Robbie, I was like, we can't address this on air because my mom does not know, but now she does know, so we're free to talk about it.
Let it out there. I like it.
Oh, wait, doesn't know about the mirror or doesn't
she
know
didn't.
About the car washing? Oh.
No, my little sister actually said, Mom, I was listening to Robbie and Rexford, and I heard something about Robbie and Joe washing Michelle's car, so she texted me, which was kind of funny. But now she knows about the mirror and the car wash, so we're covered on all ends.
Cool. That's cool that your sisters are also getting a lot of good, you know, like Titans talk. And
Isabella told me that her new favorite bands are Tears for Fears and Hall & Oates.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Yes.
Well, I'm so proud.
Rex Road will be beaming the rest of the day.
Hashtag proud. Wow, man. That's amazing.
Oh, good stuff. What a day yesterday. The Bengals, somehow, they get it done. They win 27-24 against Kansas City. And in the nightcap in the NFC title game, Matthew Stafford and the Rams scored just enough against Jimmy G and the 49ers. They win 20-17. There was this photo circulating around on social media last night. And I can't remember what app it was, but somebody laid down a $20 bet on the Bengals to win 27-24. and for the Rams to win 20-17, and the payout was like $590,000.
Holy crap. Are you serious?
Yeah, dead serious. Nailed it.
Wow.
It's not bad.
So someone posted that after the games were final.
Well, they posted it after the Bengals game, 27-24. They're like, this is still alive. And then the final score, Rams Niners, was 20-17.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Oh, they didn't cash out.
Yeah, right. Man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still stunned by the Chiefs-Bengals outcome. And I'm going to be honest, like, all due respect, Joe Burrow, wow. I mean, he's ahead of schedule, and we're going to be talking a lot about Joe Burrow over years and years and years of this league. But I'm just not super excited about the Bengals being in the Super Bowl.
You're such a Bengals hater.
I'm not. I just don't think they're that great. But, I don't know what else there is to say. They're there.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs were doing to them exactly what I figured we'd see. And then all of a sudden, that second half, what in the world were they doing?
Well, their first three possessions of the game, they scored a touchdown, Kansas City. I mean, they're just mowing them down, right down the field. And then it kind of did feel like, there's nothing tangibly I could point to with this, but going for that at the end of the first half and that little swing pass to Tyreek Hill and him getting stopped.
Yeah.
Like, that gave Cincinnati some momentum. I don't think there's any question about it.
It did. And it's almost like it also, like, made the Chiefs think about those 3 points, like, don't matter.
Yeah.
Because they played like that the whole second half. Like, they were worried about those 3 points mattering. Because, yeah, like, with 5 seconds left, before they ran that play, I was like, okay, you take a snap, you take your first read, you rip it. And if there's not anything there, then you sail it, and you got a second left, and you get points. You can't do what Mahomes did, which was come back all the way around. I don't think that was supposed to be. Was it? You think that was supposed to be a play for Tyreek Hill from the start? If it was, it was terribly executed. I think he just decided to do that. And it's like, to me, it's like somewhere in the headset, you'll be like, hey, Patrick, one quick, it's your first read, and it's out of your hands. You know,
I agree. Now, it's also like there's 5 seconds left. Like, maybe just kick the field goal.
You could do that too. Like, yeah. You could do that too. I guess I would trust at this point my quarterback to get that, you know?
Yeah.
And I get trying to, it's close. Like, if it was 7 seconds all day.
Sure.
If it's 4 or 3, you know you have to kick. That's like that weird little in between. But
yeah.
I think you're right. I think that play gave the Bengals life, and it gave the Chiefs doubt, and they talk about turtling in a second half of a game. There's no reason that they shouldn't have gone up and down the field on the Bengals more. They just, I don't know, they didn't.
Well, and you know, the Bengals kept trying these screen passes, and I was like, you know, at some point, I know you're scared of getting your quarterback killed, but you're going to have to stop throwing a screen. And then Samaje Perine takes a screen 50 yards of the house or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, here we go. They're just off and running. Like, some of the plays that Burrow made in that game were incredible. Like, the escaping and scrambling. Like, I don't think as Joe Burrow is like this super athletic, I'm going to get out of trouble and run around quarterback. But he did that a couple times yesterday. It's pretty impressive.
No, he can – yeah. I mean, he's – well, shoot, think about him as a rookie. I understand that the Titans couldn't sack anyone back then, but he had a couple plays in that game last year.
Yeah.
Where, it, like, actually Clowney actually could have had a sack on his –
could have been amazing.
On his resume that year. Yeah, and he – land. I mean, he's not a burner, but he's elusive. He's just a heck of a player. And it's a great story for Cincinnati, and they deserve a ton of credit. I mean, their defense deserves a ton of credit for what they did. This is also, like, I look at this, and I'm like, this is the Titans Super Bowl that you're playing in. Yeah. I mean, like really. Like, they are ahead of schedule, and they just stole someone's spot in the Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah. Well, for the Kansas City side of this, this goes back to Jackson Mahomes. That's why you can't have this. This is just karma is what this is. Mahomes dancing around.
Well, he has the same dance,
his
too.
His wife pouring champagne on all sorts of people.
Yeah.
This is karma. It's what this is.
Well, I saw another Jackson Mahomes dancing TikTok yesterday that someone tweeted out. It's
quite
something. He doesn't have any other
dance.
He has
Buck
one dance.
Who tweeted it? Oh, yeah, he has one. He does the same one. He'll, like, find a trend he likes, and then if you look through his TikTok page, it is, like, seven videos doing the same dance, just all.
It makes me violently angry every time I see it. I don't know why.
So hold on. You've looked through his TikTok page?
Yes.
You've gone through his catalog of dances?
No, like all of them.
Scroll through
I
them all.
Think we should do a Robbie and Rex Road TikTok account, and my idea was that I'll just do a side-by-side video, Joe, of you doing the same dance, and then we can have do a Twitter poll, which we know you love.
And that'll be the day that I join Tom Brady in retirement, when that happens.
I don't know if the ladies of Nashville can handle such smoke coming off the internet, but, you know, we can think about it.
Then on the other side, I tell you what, that Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay both tried to lose that game a couple times for L.A., and it just didn't happen. It was, you know, McVay with some of the challenges that he threw out there. I was just like, dude, what are you doing, man? Just awful in terms of the challenges he brought to the table. And then Stafford threw up a lollipop in the fourth quarter that Jaquaski Tart, I mean, he could have called a fair catch right underneath.
Yeah.
And he just dropped it. And I was like, as soon as he dropped it, I was like, oh, my God, the Rams are going to win this game. It's unbelievable. But congratulations to Stafford. I tell you what.
That was a bad pass. He was great in the playoffs.
Great in the playoffs. That was a bad pass, and I will tell you, we knew this anyway, and we've talked about it. You go from not winning any playoff games your entire career to now you've won three and you're heading to the Super Bowl, and all it took was a change of scenery.
Yep, no doubt. It ends up being a heck of a move. Yeah, I don't know, McVay, the second challenge in particular.
Oh, God.
I don't know what he possibly could have been thinking of, because, again, I thought the Niners were going to come out. Now that they were going to go for it and burn him, because they had the punt team out there. Like, you won't, I mean, that could have been like the coaching blunder of the whole postseason.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the Shanahan just tried to do the draw them off sides thing and they were fine. Yeah. I mean, that was weird because Van Jefferson, I think, was open. I guess he just didn't get enough on the pass. He had a little bit of pressure.
I don't know.
You know, like the play was there.
He still throws one or two every game where I'm just like, huh? Yeah. What are you doing?
He does, but, man, he also is good, and he's
the next
difference.
Pass he threw was an absolute bullet to OBJ on the sideline.
Yeah, and there's a guy who, by the way, a big part of this story, too. Like, yeah. Getting him, when they lost Woods, I thought maybe they were in deep trouble, but OBJ has been rejuvenated. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, I can already see, like, in Detroit, people are tensing up for this whole, you know, oh, so now Stafford was perfect all those years, and that's not the point. He wasn't. He made those throws you talked about at times of the Lions too, but he is good enough. He's a legit big time QB, and that's that deal that McVay made. You know, well, you can bring it to this town if you want. It's like, well, look, man, sometimes you got to do something like that if you think you have a good enough team to get a better QB.
That was a heck of a pass by Jimmy G. Maybe the last pass we'll ever see him throw in a Niner uniform. It was special.
Wait, which one are we talking about?
The interception that was,
yeah,
that iced the game away. He's just throwing it behind his back and drugged to the ground.
It did hit the back in both hands for the record.
It did.
Yeah. I mean, he was trying. Obviously, if he gets sacked, it's like 4th and 26 and the clock's running. But yeah, Jimmy G, man.
Oof.
He made a few. There were a few moments in that game where I'm like, Jimmy G is going to come out of this and go to the bowl and be like, and everybody's going to be not know what to do with it, you know. But then, man, I mean, wow, he tried to throw the pick to Ramsey that would have earlier, you know.
He's just
them.
So mind-boggling to me because he made some great throws in that game, made some great throws, and then there were two plays in particular. One of them was early in the game where there's no pressure. Kittle's wide open down the seam, and he sails it 5 yards over his head. And he did it. It was a similar throw later to Samuel where he's trying to force it to Samuel, and Aikman was talking about it on the broadcast. He's like, there's no one there rushing the passer, and he just throws it 5 yards over his head. I just don't get it how he can make some fantastic throws, and then it looks like he's not an NFL quarterback on some other throws. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, it's just inconsistent. He just has the random, that's what I used to think about Josh Allen. Like, you know, he can do all this stuff, but then his fifth throw is going to be like in the third row.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they'd all have rings 2 years ago if he didn't sail one like that on a throw that you have to have. So, yeah, it's probably it for him. But, you know, it's also like, okay, so you're going to go to Trey Lance. So where's your team going to go? Because they do have they have some pieces with that team that could be elite.
Yeah.
I mean, Deebo Samuel, man.
It's pretty darn fun.
There's going to be a whole bunch of teams that try to copy that now and totally fail. But boy, they really found something with that.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Titans fans, do you feel better or worse after watching the Bengals advance to the Super Bowl yesterday? We've got a lot of interesting responses to that. We'll get to some of those coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Nashville's best deals of this week, the Mainstay Bar and Grill in East Nashville. The Mainstay is located at 501 Main Street and is your local spot to enjoy all your sports along with great food and friends. With over 25 TVs, 20 taps, and nightly events like trivia, karaoke, and much more, the Mainstay Bar and Grill, good drinks, good people, good times. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get half off a $30 gift card to the Mainstay while supplies last. You can check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 25 years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are taking your thoughts here on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. RBI Sports on YouTube says, good morning. I don't want to hear any more about how Joe Burrow isn't as good as any of these other so-called top five quarterbacks. This is coming from RBI Sports.
RBI YouTube. Sports, I'm getting like Nintendo flashbacks.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I think you got to put Joe Burrow up with anybody right now. Year two, but some of it is the only reason you wouldn't is just because you just haven't had the time to build the resume, stack years of greatness on top of each other. But I mean, those years are coming,
yeah, very quickly, as multiple people on the text line have pointed out. What's this going to be like when he actually does get an offensive line?
Yeah,
that's a good question.
Again, you're going to have Burrow fatigue quickly,
yes,
like the diamond studded chain and the vanilla ice glasses and all this stuff, like it's going to get annoying. It may not get Jackson Mahomes annoying, but it will get annoying.
So it looks like the Las Vegas Raiders have found their man. Looks like Josh McDaniels, who of course has been the longtime offensive coordinator in New England alongside Bill Belichick, looks like he is going to be the hire for the Raiders and that he will be the next head coach for Derek Carr and company. And the reaction to this has been interesting. Now, look, I think Josh McDaniels is a really good coach. I think he is a very good offensive coordinator. And I think we found that out to some degree this year with no Tom Brady. You get in a rookie quarterback. I mean, there were games where their offense just, they lit it up with what they were able to do out there. So, you know, he's 45 years old. I think he's a really good coach. But some people are acting like the Raiders have hired like Vince Lombardi out there. Rex Ryan says, quote, this is an amazing hire. A home run hire. Like, there's so many people throwing out the home run hire phrase by the Raiders. And I'm just like, yeah, it could work out. But we've also seen Josh McDaniels be a head coach before, and it didn't go overly well. So I'm interested to see how this goes. He is still young. He's 45. You know, you can change and adapt and evolve as a coach, all these things. But, you know, I'm interested to see how this goes. As we know, the Raiders have had a huge track record of success as of late.
Even just when they started to go after him, like the, was it Rappaport? You know, like this team takes huge swings. It's like, dude, Josh McDaniels has been mentioned for a million jobs. He bailed on the Colts,
yeah,
which was bizarre. The Denver tenure was awful to the point where, like, they couldn't get him out of town quick enough. I'm sure he's learned from that and all that stuff. Good OC, but I don't know, man. It's another example of trying to just bring Patriots to your franchise. So, good luck. I mean, it hasn't worked out too much in many places yet. I mean, again, Vrabel is different, of course, because, and, the Titans, Ray Rob, that's Patriots bred, but Vrabel as a player, so it's a little different than this. I'm not surprised he got another opportunity here. And again, I'm sure, let's see, how old is when you get the Denver job? So you're talking about, at that point, he was like 32. You know, 32 and 45. Trust me, you become almost a genius in the span of those years. But you know, I'm sure it'll. By the way,
let me just tell you that the 1999 Michigan State football team that I covered had a grad named Josh McDaniels and a student assistant named Adam Gase.
Wow.
Oh, yeah,
baby. What a meeting of the minds that was.
I'll tell you what, watch out. Yeah, I don't know why people are acting like this is some kind of just huge coup for the Raiders. We'll see.
We'll see what happens. But congratulations, I guess, to Josh McDaniels on his head coaching job with the Raiders. What are the Jags doing? Like, I thought that Byron Leftwich was going to be the guy. And now there's a report coming out yesterday that this is from Ian Rappaport, that apparently Kevin O'Connell, who is the offensive coordinator for the Rams, is now emerging as like this dark horse candidate for the Jags job. Like, what are they doing? What are the Jags doing? Well, we seem to ask that question a lot.
Yeah, and the thing is, the Leftwich, you know, so what happens usually is like, okay, Leftwich is imminent, right? That was some of the reporting. So usually when that happens, I mean, I guess you could go back to, I don't even remember who reported that, but it was premature. It was exaggerated, I guess, or it wasn't. Just
changed their mind.
And they just have no clue what they're doing. But either way, it looks ridiculous. Now, is it just sort of like, you know, is Shad Khan kind of like, We gotta have somebody, someone who's a cousin to Zach Taylor or you know Sean McVay. We must have someone related to the Rams. You know, I don't know. Leftwich seems like a good pick to me. Seems like a no brainer. But I mean, you know, without knowing the interviews and all that stuff, I mean the guy's been a really good OC. He was a legendary quarterback there. Seems like that would be a good way to go in terms of trying to bring along Trevor Lawrence. But yeah, you know. This is going to spawn another series of teams trying to find anyone who in any way ever had a conversation with Sean McVay.
Even after some of the things we saw last night, where I was sitting there, I was like, Sean McVay, like obviously he's a good coach. This will be the second time he's going to the Super Bowl, so he's a good coach. But like some people think that he is the greatest thing to ever walk the earth. And some of those challenges last night, I was like, this is stupid. This is just pure stupidity from Sean McVay. I can't get over it. But here they are in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. The second one could have cost him the game if Shanahan decided to really make him pay for it. I mean, I would argue that Shanahan, what he did with that team, you know, probably as impressive as anything.
Yep.
Although, Zach Taylor, it's not all Joe Burrow. I mean, I still have no idea how the heck Cincinnati stopped Kansas City in that game.
I don't either. Pretty impressive stuff. Ian Rappaport putting it out there yesterday that the Indianapolis Colts planning to interview Titans senior defensive assistant Jim Schwartz for their vacant defensive coordinator job. Says the former Lions head coach and longtime respected DC is a strong candidate in Indy, which also interviewed Joe Cullen and Chris Harris for the job as well. What do you think of that? Jim Schwartz apparently interviewing for the Colts DC job up there in Indianapolis. I guess he wants to get back into it in terms of getting back into the game and being an actual defensive coordinator. Interesting stuff.
Maybe he wants to stick it to the Titans.
Maybe so.
You know? He's like, let me go to Indy and beat you guys. Now that maybe it was all a plan. You know, spend a year inside the Titans, you know, your old stomping grounds, get all their stuff, and then come over here and be the DC. Eberflus is about to get a head coaching job, you know.
There's Titans fans freaking out about this, man.
Schwartz and Frank Reich, are they like old buddies? You know, I don't know. But it's interesting because, obviously, when he came here, like in all seriousness, when he came here, one of the big things with this senior assistant thing was that his kids are a certain age, you know, that kind of wanted to like not be full, you know, coaching rat race at that time. So had a year of that, and now I guess he's. But I think also sometimes you sort of have a role like that, and I can see the itch being like, okay, I'm too good to not be like at least a coordinator in this league, and he's probably right. I mean, Jim Schwartz has been a heck of a coordinator in this league, and pretty good head coach who, by the way, went 10-6 with Matthew Stafford, and what was that? Matthew Stafford's third year?
Yeah. Almost fought Jim Harbaugh.
Lost to Drew Brees in a playoff game, but Stafford was great in that game. Yes, almost fought Harbaugh What happened there? He didn't shake his hand or he like slapped his hand.
Yeah, they like ran at each other off the field, barking back and forth.
Harbaugh, amazing. Vikings.
I'm all for it. Bring him in there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You should be afraid of a Harbaugh Cousins Michigan State alliance, man.
Well, look.
That might blow everything up for the Packers.
You know, 2 weeks from now, if my quarterback's playing for the Broncos, I don't really care who the coach of the Vikings is. Whatever. Just throw him in there. That is interesting, though. So does this tell you that he's just out at Michigan? He wants back in the NFL? Or is this just a special situation? They're reaching out to Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I don't
about
know.
Head coaching vacancy.
I think it's clear that he's seriously looking at the NFL, and I think he probably looks at this like, okay, remember these last 2 years? People were talking about me in the NFL. Well, no one was calling me.
Yeah.
But the Raiders thing, and this came from the Raiders early in that, they were like, that's just noise. So that was like, I guess, Harbaugh-generated noise. They never interviewed him or anything. So the fact that the Vikings actually want to is kind of a coup for him, whether he's going to actually go or not. He did just, you know, he got his DC from his brother with the Ravens, who did a heck of a job at Michigan this year. And then John's like, hey, little brother, I'm taking him back. Thank you. So
just alone.
Fired Wink Martindale and got McDonald back over as his DC. So I don't know. I think it's on the table for sure for Harbaugh, but I wouldn't say it's. I mean, I guess if the Vikings really want him, he's gone. But will they? Maybe they'll mess around like the Jags are doing.
There was a report yesterday that the Jim Harbaugh buyout would only be $1.5 million. It's coming from, I think, NBC is where I saw this. Only $1.5 million. So, be interesting to see what happens there with old Jim Harbaugh. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.